recognize that God has placed you and me at this particular time in history to accomplish His will. God has put us here to accomplish His will, and He has given us the provision that we need to succeed at the task.
Thanks for being with us on the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll be concluding Don's message, Spiritual Victory in a Hostile World. Last time, Don laid out the problems we face as Christians in this world. We face hatred, deception, and temptation. Today, Don will highlight God's provision for believers in the midst of it all. So have your Bible open to 1 John as we join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
Look at chapter 2, verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15, where he says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God abides forever." The world system appeals to our inward sinful desires. It tempts us from the outside. I always think of supermarket checkout lines when I look at this passage. The world is filled with an arrogance that comes from a boastful heart. And beloved, we're not immune to those enticements. We have fallen desires in our own flesh. And so those things can distract us from pursuing holiness in a close walk with Christ. And so, for the Christian trying to live a holy life, trying to walk with a holy God, this world is a problem. Outward hostility, outward temptations, and false teachers all surround us with threats. All are hindrances, obstacles to what we are trying to do. For those of us that have been born again, for those that God has renewed by His Spirit, taken out our heart of stone and given us a heart of flesh, that we love, and we love Christ because of what He has done for us. We love Christ because He gave His life and absorbed the wrath of God on our behalf. Opened the doors of heaven by bearing punishment on our behalf so that we could be forgiven. And our deepest, truest desires are to just love Christ and to walk with Him. We find ourselves in an environment that is opposed to that. We're swimming upstream, as it were, in a sense, with all that is around us. Now, if I stopped there and simply closed in prayer, that would be a little bit discouraging. All of that could drive us to despair. But beloved, 1 John is not a book of despair at all. 1 John is a book of hope and of triumph. Sure, soldiers go out into battle. Sure, they face enemy resistance. But soldiers win battles. And that's what 1 John equips us to do. It equips us to overcome the problems of this world, the spiritual antagonism of this world. It equips us to overcome by showing us, and this is the second major point here as we transition now, it shows us the provision of the Father. It shows us the provision of God that gives us the spiritual resources that we need to walk through this life with joy, confidence, and obedience to Him. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. It's better to fight and win than to have no resistance. I'd rather have a triumph over a foe than to win a forfeit, wouldn't you? A forfeit isn't anything. A forfeit is meaningless. That doesn't show triumph on the playing field or triumph in the battle. A victory over a powerful foe, that's something to long for. That's something to aim after. Beloved, the problem with this world, as we've described it, it is profound, It is rooted in spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places, and it is beyond our human strength to overcome. But that's not the end of the story. But there is more to be said. But that is not the only theme in the epistle of 1 John. The glory of the gospel, the glory of this book of 1 John, the glory of the Christian position in this world is that God the Father, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given you everything you need, absolutely everything without exception, everything you need to overcome the world and to live a fruitful Christian life, no matter what the next few years may bring. There is no cause for fear, beloved. There is no cause for apprehension. There is every cause and expectation for confidence and to fight battles that we will win. They may be sustained battles. We may suffer in the process. We may wonder how it's all going to come out. But victory is assured. Now, in talking about the provision of the Father, I want to match these themes up with what the problem with the world was. We saw that the world hates us. That's okay. That's okay. That's absolutely okay. You know why that's okay? That is okay because God the Father loves us. I don't care that this passing world hates me. And I don't care that it's opposed to me, because there is one infinitely more significant, infinitely more important, infinitely more treasured, who loves me and who loves you if you are in Christ. Look back at chapter 3, verse 1 again. And beloved, let this soak into your soul. As we preach a high view of God and as we preach the duties of the Christian position, always understand that those things are communicated in an atmosphere that is permeated with the very love of God Himself, a gracious, loving Heavenly Father. Chapter 3, verse 1. Where he says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God." Those of us that are Christians have been brought into God's family, where we enjoy His paternal protection and we enjoy an eternal security in our salvation that will never be taken away from us. God has set His love upon us. Even though we were formerly enemies of His, He's made His love known to us and has showered upon us His love in Christ. This is fundamental to His very character. Look at chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7, where John says to his readers, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God. For God is love." And we see His love, beloved, woven throughout this letter in a very particular way that I trust is going to be a great encouragement to your heart. In ways that you wouldn't quite expect if you just read through it superficially. As the Apostle John, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talks to his readers, knowing that discouraged Christians are going to get this letter, And he's writing to give them strength to overcome the problem with this world. Look at how this beloved apostle addresses his readers. He uses two terms that I want to call out to you. One is "my little children." The second one is "beloved." Look at chapter 2, verse 1. 8 or 9 times throughout this epistle, he addresses his readers, he calls them out, and he says, "my little children." Remember, he's writing as a man who's old enough to be their grandfather or their great-grandfather. And with these tender words of affection, he addresses them as they're in the midst of a hostile world. Chapter 2, verse 1, and I want to go through each of these verses so that you see it, even though I won't really comment on the verses themselves. Just look at the affection with which he speaks to these readers. Chapter 2, verse 1, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin." Chapter 2, verse 12, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for His name's sake." Chapter 2, verse 18, Children, it is the last hour. Chapter 2, verse 28. Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. Chapter 3, verse 18. Even as he exhorts them, he addresses them with these affectionate terms. Little children, chapter 3, verse 18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Chapter 4, verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And he ends the book on the same note, chapter 5, verse 21. He ends on that same note of affection when he says, little children, guard yourselves from idols. Little children, my beloved little children, those who are under my apostolic care, I write these things to you with the affection that a father gives to his small children. The tender love of a father is the attitude with which I write to you in this letter. And that's not the only term of affection that he uses, because he uses this term beloved as well. Look at chapter 2, verse 7. It's so important to see this and to understand it, because I think too often sometimes people look at 1 John as kind of a harsh black and white letter, and there's elements of that. But as John writes out those clear points of truth, he is writing with an attitude totally dominated by pastoral love for those who are going to read his words. Chapter 2, verse 7, he says, beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you. Chapter 3, verse 2, he says, beloved, now we are children of God. Chapter 3, verse 21, he says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. Chapter 4, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 12, 15, 20 times in this short book, he writes with these great words of affection to the people who are going to get the letter. He writes to them knowing the challenges that they face. He writes to them knowing how hostile the world is to them. And yet, his heart is undiminished. His heart is undeterred in the face of that environment. His heart is filled with overflowing with love that came from God the Father into shown abroad into his own heart. And then multiplied out to everyone who would read his letter. This is tremendous. This is the heart assurance that we have as we face the hatred of the world. Now, why is that so important, and why does that tell us so much? As John writes, my little children, as John writes, my beloved, remember this. As John was writing this epistle, he was writing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit himself. He was writing the very words of God. He was putting down on paper the exact thoughts and the exact sentiments and the very words that God wanted him to write down. Think with me for just a moment. What does that say about God? What does that say about God? God was the one ultimately speaking through the Apostle John here. This tone, this sympathetic, loving tone expressed in the words, my little children and beloved, this tone, beloved, get this, that tone expresses the attitude of God himself toward the redeemed. That tone expresses God's love for you and me if we know Christ. It is an attitude of paternal affection, paternal love. With full knowledge of the threats and the environment in which we live, God, as it were, has his loving hand upon our shoulder to shepherd us through it all. We are not alone, and that's why we're not afraid. It's not just that God is sovereign and that God is omnipotent and God rules over world history. All of that is true, marvelously true, and it's been taught from this pulpit many, many times. But beloved, as God ushers the world to the ends that he has appointed, he is ushering us through with the loving hand of a father. with tender affection, with only our best interests in mind, with a full intention to bless us through it all. Beloved, our Heavenly Father cares for us. Our Heavenly Father loves us. And every little bit of discouragement and every major discouragement and every form of difficulty and grief and opposition all can be placed into that context of the unfailing, unending, permanent, eternal love of God that He has for His children. This is a marvelous letter. And when you are rooted deep in the love of God, beloved, the fact that the world hates you, hey, okay, you hate me. God loves me. And I treasure that more than the affection of this world could ever be. So, we are confident. We are joyful. We look forward to the future with optimism because we understand the love of God that He has shown abroad in our hearts and that He has upon us. Now, secondly, it's not just that God loves us, and the provision of the Father is more than His love and the fact that He's reconciled us to Himself in Christ. It's also found in the fact that God strengthens us. God strengthens us. Whereas the world would try to undermine us, God strengthens us. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, where in the midst of the deception that false teachers would wreak upon us, John says in chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Beloved, in the Word of God, God has given us all that we need to be able to discern these false teachers and avoid their influence. We are not defenseless in the midst of it. We just avail ourselves of the provision that God has given us. We can discern these things. These things can be known. Those who say that truth is unknowable or that it's really not too clear in the Bible are absolutely wrong and should be condemned for their efforts to undermine the truth of God and the Word of God and all that He's expressed with such clarity in the Scriptures. Now, beloved, as we grow in discernment, we develop spiritual strength in the following three ways. I have to go through this really quickly here. We grow in discernment, and as we grow in our knowledge of the love of God and in the knowledge of His truth, there are certain things that happen which reflect the purpose that for which John wrote this letter. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. God strengthens us, first of all, with joy. With joy. Chapter 1, verse 4. John says, "These things we write so that our joy may be complete." He writes for the purpose that we would know joy in the midst of this hostile world. Secondly, he writes to promote our holy living. In the face of the temptations and in the face of this evil world system, it is possible and expected to live a holy life. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. He expresses another purpose for this letter. He says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin." I'm writing to promote your holiness. I'm writing to promote your efforts to live a righteous life. That's one of the ways that God strengthens us. And thirdly, joy, holy living, as God strengthens us in these things, He also strengthens us with an assurance of our salvation. 1 John 5, verse 13. I know we're covering a lot of different things, but I just want you to see these broad themes, and then we'll unpack them more in the weeks to come. Joy, holy living, part of the strength that God gives, also assurance of salvation. 1 John 5, verse 13. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Joy, holiness, assurance in the midst of this hostile world. Beloved, God has given you what you need to live a joyful, obedient, confident life even in the midst of a hostile world system. We're not defeated. We are not overwhelmed. We are confident, not in our own strength, but in the God who loves us and has equipped us for the battle. Now, that's especially true when you remember this final point, the third way in which God has given us his provision. It's this, is that God protects us forever. God protects us forever. While the world tempts us with its passing lust, God promises us a lasting victory. In the end, the world will be subdued at our feet, so to speak. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, verse 4. He says, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." In chapter 5, verse 4. He says, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Victory. Permanent protection from beginning to end until we are safe at home, face to face in the presence of Christ. In light of all of these things, beloved, in light of the provision of God, his love, his strength, his protection, oh, beloved, I beg you, beloved, to let your heart be resolute to be strong in the face of an uncertain future. Be strong, be resolute, as is worthy of all of the blessings that God has poured out upon his children. Our world, particularly our country, is in a time of uncertain transition. Beloved, in the midst of that, always remember that God himself has ordained that. He has ordained the economic and the political situations. He's ordained our political leadership. Beloved, get this. Get this. Rather than buck against his providence and wish that it was something different than what it is, oh, beloved, recognize that God has placed you and me at this particular time in history to accomplish his will. He not only ordained the circumstances, he ordained us for this time. Whatever that means, however that works out in the future, God has put us here to accomplish his will, and he has given us the provision that we need to succeed at the task. Beloved, the opportunity is great. Jesus Christ will build his church, and he will use us to that end. He has equipped us for the task. If the outer future is going to get dark and the lights are going to go down, beloved, I beg you to understand that that is our opportunity. That is the very purpose for which God has put us here, so that we would respond in a godly way and be his instruments in this darkening world, and to walk through it with joy and holiness and assurance of our ultimate victory in Christ. We're not afraid. We're victors. And we're going to live out that victory more than ever, beloved. We must be confident in the provision of God and proclaim and live the truth with clarity and power and passion, and show forth the glories of him who called us to his eternal kingdom. Let the world pass away. Let America go where it's going to go, beloved. We are unafraid. We will tell sinners that they can find forgiveness of sins through the blood and righteousness of Christ. We will proclaim the gospel. We will do it all until God calls us home. Beloved, be strong. Be resolute. Show forth the worth and the glory of the God who has called us. For such a time as this, rise to the occasion. Be courageous and glorify our Christ.
Be not afraid, dear friend. As Scripture assures us, he who is in us is stronger than he who is in the world. A great reminder from Pastor Don Green today on the Truth Pulpit. Don will have more from God's Word on our next broadcast, so plan now to be with us. But right now, Don's back here in studio with some closing thoughts.
Well, you know, my friend, one of the things that is a special blessing to me in pastoral ministry is the opportunity to talk with people at maybe at a hospital bedside or when they're discouraged going through really difficult life trials. Let me speak to you somewhat as a pastor. I know it's through radio and not in a personal relationship like we normally think about that. But let me just encourage you that even though you are going through a dark valley now, perhaps, that Jesus Christ is with you in the valley. And even though you may be afraid of what the next doctor's report has for you or where the next mortgage payment is going to come from and you don't know and there's a lot of pressure on your life, let me just remind those of you who are Christians of a wonderful passage from Psalm 23. David could say, "I fear no evil, for you are with me." Do you know Christ? Then, my friend, there's no cause for fear. He will keep you. And you'll find in the end that goodness and loving kindness have followed you all the days of your life. Look to your gracious Savior for help, for comfort. And my friend, I know that He'll prove Himself faithful to you in the end.
Thanks, Don. And friend, remember, you have a standing invitation to visit thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about our ministry. Now for Don Green, I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit.